Matthew 9, we looked at verse number 27 and verse down through verse number 30. It says, when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him and said unto him, Believe ye that I'm able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes. Circle then. It's important that we just not go around laying hands on everybody until they demonstrate that they believe in this. Believe that Jesus is their healer. Believe that they receive. But then touched he their eyes. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See no man know it. See nobody. In this case, it wasn't that they didn't want people to know it. It's just he was trying to avoid being recognized that he's home, you know. For he wanted some rest for a few moments. But notice it says here that Jesus said to them, according to your faith be it unto you. Now, that's true today for all of us. Those are divine words. Those are inspired words. And the way it is with you and me right now is according to our faith. And so we want to know that, we want to understand that Jesus didn't say that it was according to his power, his ability. He didn't say it was according to his will, although his will is important that we know his will. He didn't say it's according to our desire. He didn't say it was according to our efforts. He didn't say it's according to our job. He didn't say it's according to the economy. He didn't say it's according to our education. He didn't say it's according to any of those natural things. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of heaven. And it's the only thing God honors in exchange for goods and services. None of these other things, God is not a respecter of any of these other things. Amen. Now, they might help you in the natural. Fine. Get some things that help in the natural. That's not what we're talking about. But my point is, you can have all that in the natural and still not get what really God has for you because of a lack of faith. So it's according to, Jesus said, according to our faith, not according to somebody else's faith, not according to our praying grandmother's faith, not according to the church's faith we go to, or the pastor's faith, or the minister's faith. Amen? It's according to our faith. What is going to be unto us is according to our faith. What is going to be to somebody else is according to their faith. I'm so glad Jesus didn't say, what you have is going to be according to everybody else's faith. No, he said, what I have is according to my faith. Amen. So this is huge. This is big time revelation. We spent some time on it Wednesday night. We spent some time talking about this. And to get really what we said, you should get online and listen to it, because we're not going to take the time to rehash all that. I will say this, though, again. What does this do to the sovereignty of God teaching? It blows it out of the water. That God's just controlling everything. And we said on Wednesday night that this is not just in regards to healing or financial provision or anything like that. We see in Romans 1 that we have revelation of God according to our faith. Some people don't know him because they don't believe that they receive revelation from him. Romans 1 says that in 16 and 17 and many other verses. Amen. And so we see then that we prophesy according to our proportion of faith, Romans 12, 6, and so forth. We see then in the Bible that we reckon ourselves dead according to our proportion of faith, Romans 6. There's things our flesh wants to do. Well, we must reckon ourselves dead. It doesn't feel dead, but not physically dead, but I mean the lusts of it, dead, crucified is what he's saying. And then we read in the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, that whenever the prodigal son came home, he was not going to receive his father's forgiveness. I mean, he was going to say, I'll earn my way because I messed up so bad. But his father forgave him, and he received that and allowed his father to bless him. And so we see there, that's something that at times we've all had trouble with doing, is receiving the forgiveness of the Father. Because we've beaten ourselves up so bad.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I've done it. I've beat myself up, but I found out it doesn't get you anywhere.
Yes, sir. You're right.
So I have to forgive myself, but you have to receive the forgiveness of God. People say, I just can't forgive myself. I just can't believe God would forgive me. Well, it is a faith issue.
Yes,
But we receive forgiveness according to our faith. And there's so many other things we give according to our faith, according to Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 4. We receive the harvest off of our faith, according to Mark chapter number 4. And we could go on and on and on. Just about everything that the believer does, he does it by faith. Amen. We forgive other people by faith. Our feelings don't want to. We want to be offended. We want to hold a grudge. Yeah, I got flesh like you got flesh, and that flesh wants to feel like a victim. It wants to take on the unforgiveness, you know, and see, it feels so good to hold that grudge. It feels so good to have pity parties. But if you're gonna live in the blessings of God, not because God's trying to withhold something from you, but just simply because it'll cause your conscience to be bothered, you know, and you can't receive with that. But you're gonna have to forgive. Let people go. Release them. Like one translation says, drop it. Release it. Drop it. Let it go. You got to do that by faith because your feelings don't want to do that. Well, they just didn't quite treat me all right. Well, welcome to the human race. Now let's go over to Romans chapter number 3. I want to get into some more of this. We won't go much further in what we were sharing on Wednesday night. You can get that, listen to it. But chapter 12, verse number 3, it says, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every one of us that are born again, according to the book of 1 Thessalonians, all men have not faith. But the context of that verse is the wicked. You can look it up. He talks about delivering us from wicked and unreasonable men, for all men have not faith. So when he says that all men have not faith in 1 Thessalonians, I don't remember the verse there. I think it's chapter 3. But then here he says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, he's talking about the wicked that aren't saved. In Romans, he's talking about the church, the body of Christ. So when you got born again, God dealt to you the measure of faith. And he dealt us all the same measure when we got born again. I'll tell you why. Because he's a just God. He's not unjust. He won't give somebody else something more than he'll give you. Now, what happens is some people know what to do with it and others don't. Yes, others, some people develop it. Some people feed it. Some people exercise it and begin to use it, and it begins to grow. Yeah. Because although we've gotten the measure of faith, according to this verse, God has dealt to every one of us, every one of the people of God, every one of his children, when they got born again, he's dealt to every man the measure of faith. According to that, we all have it. Isn't that right? Now, it says over in the Apostle Paul, says in 2 Thessalonians 1, he said, we are bound to thank, verse number 3, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Oh, so this faith that he gave us the measure of can grow. We can have a greater measure than what we had the day we got born again. He said, your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. How many of you know you can grow in the love walk? We ought to be growing in the love walk. In other words, we ought not take these little offenses and these unforgivenesses and hold grudges and have ill will towards others. And we can grow out of all of that. It's a carnal state of Christianity. That love is in there when shed abroad whenever we're born again, shed abroad in our hearts. But that doesn't mean we're doing anything with it. But when we start exercising it, start feeding it, finding out how much he loves us, but he forgave us, although we had done him wrong, then we can turn around and do that to somebody else. We start growing and we start forgiving. We start not holding grudges, you know. Amen. It's a good way to live. You ought to try it. No, I know many of you are. I'm just having fun. But what he's saying here is, when we got born again, Romans 12, 3, God put the measure of faith in all of us. We all received the measure, and it's the same measure. He didn't say a measure. He said God dealt to every man the measure. In other words, he dealt everyone the same measure. Everybody got it. Some people don't know it. They'll say, pray for me that God would give me faith. Well, he did. I mean, if you don't have any, then you couldn't have got saved, because you got saved by faith. Right. Yes, sir. How'd you get saved if you don't have any? Well, you do. Yes, You do. That's the point. You do. That. The point is, you do. Then the point is, now you got to know what to do with that. It's like you could hand two people $500,000 and say, here, this is yours. One of them go blow it and not use it right and destroy it and lose it. Another one take that and invest in a business or maybe the stock market or something, you know, do real estate or whatever. And they'll turn that in by the end of their lifetime, turn it into $15
million.
Somebody says, is that possible? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, much more than that's possible. But see, that's the way this faith is. God's dealt to everybody the same measure. Just like I mentioned the story, two people getting $500,000. Same measure. Same measure. It's just what you do with it. Yeah, amen. It's what you do with it. And the same thing's true with this faith. The Bible said, cast not away, therefore, your confidence with that great recompense of reward. Look, if you'll learn to walk by faith and use your faith, there's a reward in that. There's a reward. And that is just all that God has for you comes into your life.
Amen.
So God's dealt to all of us, but how we increase that faith or let it go inactive determines whether it benefits us.
Yeah.
Amen. The Bible speaks of dead faith. It speaks of weak faith. It speaks of little faith. It has a lot of different terms for the condition of people's faith, including mine. Man, faith is not a static thing where it's just always, you know, in the same condition. It's always fluid.
Yeah.
It's not static. It's dynamic. That's what I'm. It's always changing. It's not just this one thing. Well, you got it. And it's always the same. It can get weak. It can grow. It can diminish. It can be dead and inactive. I could take a list of about. Oh, probably seven or eight different things. The Bible talks about different conditions of faith. The Bible talks about being great in faith. So this faith that we have needs to be developed. We need to do something with it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So we have it. Say to your neighbor, we have it.
We have it.
But what we see here is, according to Romans 12:3, faith is measurable. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So it's measurable.
Yes, sir. That's good.
You need to understand that.
Yes,
so faith is measurable.
Yes,
amen?
Amen?
Now, every substance is measurable.
Yes.
In the natural realm, there are substances and all can be measured, whether it be a weight or whether it be ounces, or whether it be whatever. There's a lot of different ways you can measure things. Isn't that right? Those are natural substances. Spiritual substances are the same way. And faith is a spiritual substance. I'm just doing some teaching on faith. How many of you want to get brushed up on this a little bit? I'll tell you what the Lord has said to Pastor Debbie recently about some things. Go back to the basics. Go back to where you started out on this walk of faith here.
Amen.
And so we're going to do that concerning faith.
Amen.
This is Spirit of Faith Family Church.
Yes, sir.
We walk by
faith.
And not by
faith.
Amen. The just shall live by
faith.
This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our
faith.
So it's important.
Yes, sir.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Amen.
And on and on and on. The Bible is the faith is on every page of the Bible. It's just all over the Bible. This is not a side issue. People say, ministers say sometimes I've never preached on it. Well, then you haven't preached the Bible yet. I mean, if you're going to live by it, then that's pretty much the Bible. That's it. The just shall live by. Okay, so, but well, it's measurable. Isn't that right? The Bible says, because I said it's a substance, the Bible said in Hebrews 11, verses 1, 2, and 3, down and through there, you know, faith is, this is verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. Substance. Notice that word, substance. Now, there's different ways of translating that, but there's nothing wrong with that translation. Faith is the substance. It is a spiritual substance. What people have not been, because they've been taught wrong, they have not realized and recognized that they have faith. And they're not aware of it. And they're not aware of what it'll do if they know what to do with it. And so they leave it lay over here. They bring it along through their life, but they leave it lay here. Never do anything with it. They got saved by it, and then they just set it aside. rolled it up in a napkin, set it aside, and they're not going to do anything with it. But see, faith is not just for getting saved, it's for living by. Like all the things we already mentioned, it's for forgiving people by. It's for receiving the promises of God and the blessings of God by. This is how we live. It's how we roll. It's actually how God rolls. If you want to roll with God, roll in faith. Amen. So notice every substance is measurable. Now you take a recipe or something, you've got to put the right measure of ingredients in it. You might really like one particular ingredient. Maybe it calls for cinnamon. I just love cinnamon, so I'm just going to put it, rather than put in all the other things, I'm just going to just make it cinnamon. Well, measure matters. When it comes out of the oven, it matters. Amen. This pair of pants, I had them adjusted and because they were too small. I can't figure out why. But they were too small. I mean, I was just like, I'd put them on, and whenever I wore this suit, I'd put them on, and I go, you know. So I got a measuring tape, and I said, how far is that? If I pull it like I want it, how far is that? That's 2 inches. So I tell the lady, I took them, and I told the lady, let them out 2 inches. I must have measured wrong, because my belt this morning is gathering it all up, you know, and holding it up, and they keep sliding down. Measure matters. Amen. Measure matters. Tell your neighbor, measure really does matter. It's important. It's important to success. Measure matters. If you're going to be successful in making a recipe, making a cake or something, measure matters. Amen. So you've got to do the same with your faith. It matters that you bring the right measure to every situation of life. It's not enough just to bring faith. You got to bring the right measure. Remember the Bible said in Ephesians 6, I don't remember the verse there. Remember it's verse 11, 12 down to there somewhere. It talks about having done all to stand therefore. I believe it's the Amplified. Maybe somebody can confirm it. But the Amplified, I believe it is. I know it's one translation. I think it's the Amplified. Says, having done all that the crisis demands. Every situation demands a different measure of faith. Everything demands a different measure of faith. Sometimes people say, I tried that faith business and it doesn't work. And so what they're going to do is they're going to throw away the message of faith. They're going to forget about walking by faith. And it wasn't that it doesn't work, it's that they didn't measure right. It'd be like you not having a gas gauge that worked in your car, and you took a trip. You say, well, we'll just ever so far, you know, we'll just stop and get gas. But you don't know. After a while, you can start losing track, you know, if you're not careful. And if you sputter to the side of the road and run out of gas, you don't get out and kick your car. You don't get out and say, well, this old piece of junk, they told me not to buy a Chevy. That's for you. Amen. Oh, excuse me. A couple of weeks ago, what was it? Two weeks ago, I had to do something up at the land that God has so graciously blessed us with. And you know, the snowplows go by. I hadn't plowed the driveway since, I don't know, snow fell, started falling. But, you know, the snowplows go by and there's a ridge of snow there. And I thought, well, I'll just back in and just kind of sit right at the end of the driveway. I didn't want to park on the road. So I backed in and I said, I'm going to go ahead and pull out so I can just get a track here. And I started pulling out and I tried everything. I could not get out. I tried everything, digging out from underneath, could not get out. And so I had to call somebody. So Brendan came. And he pulled me out. And my wheels are about 6 inches from the road. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm sitting there, couldn't get out. And so he came and he pulled me out. It just took about 30 seconds. Once we got the chain on, 15 seconds, huh? Probably less. So he said, well, you know, I know you needed a Chevy to get a Ford out. And I thought about that, and I told him later, you know, if I'd have been way back in the driveway, I'd have called for another Ford. But, you know, just 6 inches, you know. Say, so where's the hankies at? Come on now. Anyway, if you have a gas gauge that's not working and you run out of gas, you don't kick the truck. You don't say, well, this stupid truck, this thing's no good. It's not the truck, it's the person operating it. The same thing's true with faith. Well, this, I tried that faith business and it didn't work. It's not the faith, it's the person measuring. It's the person operating it. You thought I got off track. You thought I... Amen. Amen. If you don't put the right measure in the recipe for a cake or something, you don't just kick the recipe, you know, burn the recipe and say, this recipe's no good. No, it's the person doing it. It's the person using it. Tell your neighbor, faith works. We just have to learn how to work it. So each crisis, like the Amplified says, is that the Amplified? Somebody might have checked that out. Amplified says, King James says, having done all to stand. The Amplified says, having done all or something like that, that the crisis demands. Huh? Did I quote it about right? That the crisis demands. Every situation demands a measure of faith. And to bring the wrong measure is the issue. Well, what if it's beyond my faith? Well, then number one, either one or two things are going to have to happen. Either number one, you're going to have to do without it for right now. I didn't say for the rest of your life. In other words, you're going to have to back down to where you are or start growing it, start developing it. I suggest the second one. Amen. And get to the place where you're there in faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible says, well, let's see, I'm trying to save some time. Let's go to this. If you have a physical condition in your body, and the doctor says you need to be on this medication for the rest of your life or something. You know, if you're not at the place in faith to just receive that without taking the medication, that's not something God slaps you on the wrist for. Or that's not something that, you know, God says, well, you had to take medicine, so I'm displeased with you. What he's displeased with is using no faith at all. He wants us to stay within our measure. But if our measure is to take the medication and believe that we'll be sustained long enough for us with the medication, be sustained long enough for us to build our faith and then come off of the medication, that pleases God. If that's where we are, see, we have the idea that it's either faith or take medicine. Like it's an either or, you know, all or nothing kind of thing. That's not reality with God. That's not reality with God. It's not so cut and dried like that. You can please God at the measure you are at. Ah! I said, you can please God at the measure you are at. You don't have to be some giant in faith before you can please God. You can please him right where you're at. Here's what pleases him, that you use it. At the level you are, use it. Don't sit there and don't use it. Don't sit there and don't feed it. Don't sit there and cry. Use what you got. Use what you got. Oh, that's shouting ground right there. If your faith is not there to receive without medicine, Faith pleases God, not the withholding of medicine. People in the old days used to think, okay, if you're going to believe God, you can't go to the doctor. Or if you're going to believe God, you can't, take medication or see it, have treatment. And they'll quote verses like the Old Testament. There's a verse that talks about one of the kings. He talks about he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians, and he died. They'll quote verses like that. It wasn't that he sought to the physicians, that he didn't seek to the Lord.
Right. Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
Right. You realize there's a difference?
Yes, sir.
You can go to the doctor and seek God about what do I do about this? And he might say, well, you're there or in faith to lay hold of it, or you're not, wherever. And wherever you are, see, you have to, it's not the devil that's to tell you where your measure of faith is. Don't let the devil tell you, and don't you figure it out in your own mind. It's where you have peace in your heart. Let you and God decide, with God's wisdom, decide where you are and where you should stand in faith. I remember years ago, I told this story before, but it bears repeating, that we got in a nicer apartment, and we really needed furniture. I mean, I told you about the bed we were sleeping on, that the old army, it started out, my bed was an old army cart, and then we got cot. And then we got one that she had. We used hers when we got married. And I mean, we stayed real close, that because it had a sag in the middle. I mean, you'd wake up and you're right up against each other, you know. So we put the extra kitchen boards under it, keep it flat, you know, so we weren't rolling together. But then that made it hard. Well, we needed a bed. We needed living room furniture. We needed about everything. So we said, let's go to the furniture store. So we looked and we figured out about what we needed. It wasn't expensive stuff at all, but we totaled it up. What was it, $2,500, something like that, $2,800, something like that. And so they said, how do you want to pay for it? We said, well, we were just putting it all together because we haven't decided yet, and so forth and so on. And so we went to prayer, and I went to God, and I said, Lord, should I put this on a credit card or just believe you for the money? And he didn't say anything. I prayed for 3 days, and he didn't say anything to me. I said, finally, because I want to get this conversation started. So I said, finally, Lord, you're not saying anything to me. We got to start somewhere. I mean, why aren't you saying anything? And he said, you're trying to get me to make a decision only you can make.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wanted. I was looking to him to make the decision for me. Now, I'll qualify that in a second, because he will help you with where you are in your measure of faith, but he was making a point on this. He said, you're trying to get me to make a decision that only you can make, and then he said, where's your faith? Oh, that's easy. I don't have the faith right now for $2,800, $2,500, whatever it was. I have the faith. I can put it on a credit card for 18%. Actually, it was their loan. You know how they'd give the loans and stuff. I think it was 18% or something like that. I haven't paid interest for so long on credit cards. I don't even know what they are now, but that's high. So we went and we got it, put it on that 18% line of credit. We started paying on it, but we kept on feeding our faith. Feeding our faith. We started paying a little extra, $50 extra, started paying extra. Somebody said, well, God can do anything. Why don't you just believe God? It's not according to what God can do. It's according to, Jesus didn't say according to my ability. He said according to your faith.
Amen.
We got to get this. And so it wasn't according to what God could do. It was according to where we were in faith. And our faith was to get that payment. I forget how many years it would have taken to pay it off if we didn't pay extra. You know, it's just crazy. But we started paying extra, $50 extra. We get a little extra, put it on there. And we kept growing, developing our faith, and quicker than long before it would have been, you know, I don't know how many years, 30 years, I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, they keep on charging interest. Anyway, it would have taken a long time, maybe not 30, but we got it paid off in just a shorter period of time. Well, what happened? Our faith was growing. Our faith was growing. We believe in God. Our faith was growing. Hallelujah. Well, can you see that? It's important that we stay within our measure. You can do great damage to your faith reaching beyond it, and nothing's working. Just telling you, I've done it. It causes you to you just don't think this works anymore. Just use it where you are. Where am I? Where do you have peace? Where do you still, where can you stretch and still have joy? You're not stressing out. You're not just, you can't sleep at night. Because your mind is going, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Stay within your measure. I'm talking about, remember Romans 15, 13? The Bible said, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Joy and peace are the two gauges on your faith mobile that you need to be watching. When you're going down the road by faith, walking with God by faith, you need to be watching your joy and peace gauge because they're an indication of what's going on with your faith. If you're stressing out, you can't handle it. I mean, you're tense. And somebody says something about, you know, that'd be nice to buy. You snap. Well, you're beyond your measure, honey. And it'd do you a low lot of good to get back within your measure. Are you getting anything? It's important. I can't tell you how important this is. Now, taking medicine is not going to, Pastor Debbie, it was a couple months ago, the doctor said something to her about some medication. They said, you're going to have to be on this the rest of your life. You know how many days she went on it? Was it one day?
No.
What, not? You didn't even take it at all?
No, they told me I was
going to
gain weight on it.
Yeah. She. Yeah, their solution causes another problem, you know. But she never did go on it, and she was back in there, and they were amazed at how much it has changed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's normal.
She didn't gain any weight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That was where she was in her measure of faith. You getting any help?
Yes, sir.
Now, but if you're not there and you know that you believe that if you take the medication, God can sustain you while you're, but don't just be lazy there. Feed your faith and it'll grow and you can take a hold of more of that healing without that medication. And then whenever you get to the place you have joy and peace in coming off of it, you can come off of it, or the Lord says, you're there, go ahead and come off of it. She did some natural things. But see, whenever that point comes, then you can get off of it without fretting and being anxious and, you know what I'm talking about? It's a little like this. You ever seen in Decorah, they've got this, I think it's other places, but in Decorah, Iowa, they've got that eagle cam. Anybody ever seen that? That those little eagle, that this camera's on this eagle nest, and they show these eagles laying their eggs. You know, they keep it there. The camera's there all, what, year-round or something? And they show the adults sitting on the eggs, and then they hatch, and the little chicks, and they show the whole, you can watch the whole growth of the eagles. When they get to the place they're about ready to fly, they don't just jump off. They get up to the edge of the nest, and they start going like this. Isn't that right? I mean, they're wanting to get out there, but they're not ready yet. They're getting the muscles warmed up. They're learning to get these wings flapping and so forth. And the day comes, either one of them will jump off or mom will push them off or something. She knows they're ready, and woo, there they go. They'll go flying down to a tree, fly a little bit, and they'll land in a tree. And then figure out, where am I going to go now? You know, it's like... So they're getting into a realm that they hadn't been in before, but they don't just jump into it without any practice, so to speak. Same thing true with taking your medication. If you take medication, at least stand on the edge of that support system and go, okay, by his stripes I am healed. He took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
Hallelujah. Yep.
You won't leave here forgetting that one. But if you're just sitting back there in the nest, you're just like, feed me, mama, feed me. You're never going to get off the medication. Which if that's where you are, fine. But I just like to have the best God has for me. It's not like we're condemning people for being on medication. It's that let's go forward and let's have the best God has for us. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says here in Romans 12, it says in verse number 3, be sober. No, let's just read it again. I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Think soberly. Notice that word sober. Tell your neighbor, sober. In other words, you can have an opinion that your faith is further along than it is. That's what he's talking about. I know people right now who have struggled for a long time. It's because they won't get sober about where their measure is. They have been out beyond their measure so long, they don't realize they've been out beyond. And it's not supposed to be hard like that all the time. Faith works. But you get beyond your measure and everything you do keeps failing. Somebody said, how can I tell I'm beyond my measure? Nothing's working. Financially, never has anything worked. This could be one of the reasons. Not everybody's different. There's all kinds of situations. So I'm not saying in every situation. I'm just simply saying you better examine whether you're within your measure. Measure matters. You get beyond your measure. God will never lead you beyond your measure. I have talked to people and warned them, you're not ready for that. And they bulldozed their way into it anyway and crashed and burned spiritually and then blamed us. I know it sounds strange, but you can get so twisted in your mind and so angry that nothing's working. We've had them blame us. But we were the ones, actually there was an individual almost starving. I mean his family. And he wanted to give a vehicle to the church. I said, no. Sell the vehicle, buy some groceries. Because I didn't have the witness. I had a witness. This is just all works. This is not the leading of the Spirit. Get you some groceries. Sell that thing, get you some food. Get your family stabilized. Amen. There's we got to be led by the Spirit. We got to know by the Spirit where people are in their measure. People aren't sober about it. There was an individual here a number of years ago. We've needed these better sound system for a long time. and Pastor David was saying something to some people about it, and this individual spoke up and said, "Let's believe God. Let's use our faith." And Pastor Debbie said, we're not using our faith for that right now. It's not a priority. There's other things we got our faith on. She said, I'm not in faith about that right now. He said, well, I can believe. I got the measure. I believe God. We said, great, go for it. Now, that was 7 years ago. And the sound system didn't show up on their watch. You understand what I'm talking about? Not sober about their measure. In fact, they don't even have the faith to get to church anymore. You know what I'm talking about? People are just saying things. Brother Hagin used to get up in meetings. He'd go to a meeting somewhere in different parts of the country, you know, and he'd have these two-week Holy Ghost meetings, sometimes 1 week, sometimes 2 weeks. And he'd get up. I distinctly remember him saying a number of times, how many of you can believe God for $1 million to come in during this meeting? And they're all, yay, yay. He said, I can't. Everybody's feathers fell. They weren't in faith for $1 million to come in. People are not sober. You got to be sober. This is sobering this morning, isn't it? Amen. When I was in California and the Lord said, you know, to put it in my heart, you need another sound system before Richard Roberts comes. It dropped in here. Now I got the faith because he spoke. And boom, within weeks, it's paid for. See, you got to be sober about where you are in faith. and not criticize each other for where we are in faith, and not ask somebody to come up to a measure they're not at. If you don't have faith to just believe God without an operation, and I say, well, come on, let's believe God without an operation, I'd be wrong. I'd be wrong. And if you die because of that, you didn't have an operation, then that's on me. I'm not going there. It's not according to my faith. You might have faith for something and somebody else doesn't, and they say, agree with me. But if they don't have the faith, it's going to be according to their faith, not your faith. Are we getting anything out of this morning? We've just got to stop playing faith games. You know what I mean? Amen. Well, praise God. Now, in the area of faith, he said that the Lord said to me one time, I mentioned it to you on Wednesday night, that the Lord one time praying in tongues, we were driving, and the interpretation came, and I told Pastor Debbie, write this down, because I'm the one driving, and she wrote it down. I captured it. I wanted to not lose it. I spoke in tongues and interpreted. Faith is the only currency in the kingdom of heaven that's legal tender. And then he said, it's the only thing God honors in exchange for goods and services. We talked about walking into a, you know, grocery store and getting a bill of groceries and say, they say that'll be so many dollars, and you lay down a 2x4 and a hubcap, and, you know, that's not legal tender. They're looking for American money, whether it's a credit card, whatever, but it's American money. They're looking for that. So faith is the only currency in the kingdom of heaven that's legal tender. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, the reason it's impossible to please God is not because he's up there mad, and if you don't have faith, I'm going to be mad. No, faith is what allows him to do what he longs to do for you, longs to do for me. And that's what gets him going, man. He loves to do things for his children. And that's why it's pleasing to him when we use our faith. Can you see? Praise God. I'm enjoying this myself. You can go home and forget it, but that's between you and God. Now, so since he said that, the Lord said, faith's the only currency in the kingdom of heaven that's legal tender, what that's saying is that the way we use currency in our culture, in our society, is the way, in other words, in heaven's, in the kingdom of heaven, the currency of the kingdom of heaven is not money, it is faith. And so goods and exchanges in the things of God come into our lives by the use of the currency of faith. Does that make sense? Are you getting what I'm talking about? Now, just like in the natural realm, just like the physical realm or the realm of finance or currency, financial currency, then it's important that we be sober about where what kind of how much money we have. Just like in the natural, it's that way. It's the same thing true with the spiritual realm. If you and I keep on going beyond our the amount of money that we have, you've heard the statement that if your outflow exceeds your income, then your upkeep will be your downfall. Right? Well, the same thing's true with faith. If you keep putting out more and more and more and don't do something to get some more, well, you're going to stretch, and before you know it, that rubber band's going to stretch so far, and bop, everything comes crashing down. That's the truth. That's true about financially. People, sometimes they just keep on spending and spending and spending, and they're not paying off things, they're not, and it eventually comes all crashing down. They go bankrupt, you know. Well, a person can do that spiritually. They can go bankrupt spiritually. Am I making any sense? So you have to be sober. Same is true with faith. You have to be sober about where you are in your measure. And don't try to go beyond it. You realize if you something costs $10 in the natural, you might can just pull that out of your wallet. But if something costs $100,000, maybe you can. Hopefully you can, but maybe not. Amen. Well, if you just go trying to spend money that you don't have, or there's no way for you to pay back, or on a fair plan that's within your financial ability, after a while it's going to go pop and come crashing down. So, but that doesn't mean if something you have in your heart that God's trying to get you into or something is beyond where you are financially, that doesn't mean you can't have it. It just means you have to develop, if financially, for example, it means you have to start laying some aside.
Yeah.
Or get to the place where you can get that.
Right.
Isn't that right? Same with faith. Don't let your inability right now to receive it with the measure you have kind of put a thought in your mind, I'll never have that because I don't have the measure of faith. Faith can grow.
That's right.
You can have a greater measure.
Amen.
Woo, glory.
Amen.
But your faith is not a, unlimited measure. You use some of it. Now there's some that's not available for other things. Just like money. You spend the money you have. Now you don't have money for other things. So you got to prioritize what you spend on. Right? Same with faith. Make sure you put faith on the priorities of life. Like being in the will of God. Obeying God. Obeying the Word. Obeying the Spirit. Whatever He's talking to you about. Put it on the priorities. And then keep on growing, and more of these things that you would just like to have in that place of obedience to God is something you can lay hold of.
Yeah.
See, with God, it's not an either I gotta obey God or I gotta tithe or have what I want. It's not an either or thing. It's putting the right things first, and then He'll make sure all these other things. Because that's how you grow your faith, obeying God, obeying the Word, and acting on that. And then all these other things, your faith keeps growing by doing that, and you can lay hold of some other things that you just wanted. I'm telling you, I'm enjoying this. But if you use it all up on the unimportant, just like money in the natural. If you use it all, let's say you need, because you get paycheck, you need groceries, you need, you know, rent payment or house payment or whatever, you need all these certain things. But when that comes in, if you just use it all up on, woohoo, let's go have a party and let's just spend this. Well, that doesn't make, just because you spend it doesn't mean automatically more money shows up in your wallet.
Come on. Yeah. Come on.
Once you use it, it's gone.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do something to get more. Same with faith. Once you use it, that's unavailable now to use on anything else. Amen. And so you're going to either have to stop using it on that, but if it's something God told you to do, you can't do that. But or you're going to have to get some more. And there's plenty more available. Hallelujah. I said there's plenty more available. Praise the Lord. Now, you'll only receive in life what you have faith for. That's what Jesus said. According to your faith, be it unto you. You only receive what you have faith for. Not what God can do, but what you have faith for. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, I receive what I have faith for. Sometimes people make funny statements. They'll say, well, God can do anything. Let's believe God. Right. He can do anything, but that's not how you receive. You're according to what He can do. You receive according to what you can believe for. What you have the faith for. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not according to what God can do. People say, I don't want to have an operation or I don't want to borrow money, so let's believe God. It's not according to what you don't want. It's according to where you are in the measure of faith. I think we need to start being sober about what we put first in it with our faith. Because there's some things that if they don't get done, then everything else is not going to work. The Lord told me one time, use your faith to stay in my plan. Use your faith to walk in the Spirit and get my plan and stay in my plan. And then make that a priority for your faith. And then everything else will be added to you according to my word. Well, praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of that this morning?
Yes, sir.
We still aren't done. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad your measure can grow?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that you don't have to just be where you are right now?
Yes.
But it doesn't grow by, in other words, it grows by feeding it. It grows by exercising it. Some people, they just kind of act like they can believe God for anything, and I've never seen them believe their way out of a cardboard box yet. You know, I've never seen them use their faith to get any a pair of socks yet. But we're getting sober about these things. Amen?
Yes, sir.
You might notice sometimes whenever everybody else goes, hallelujah, amen, I don't say anything. Because I'm not believing for that. But they act people like they're believing God for everything. You're not believing God for everything. You're hoping for everything, but you're not believing God for everything. Well, praise the Lord. Now, I might can get there where there's more things I can receive, but if I'm not there, I don't get jump in with everybody else. How many believe God for $1 million to come in this meeting? No. I don't raise my hand and shout.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, you should have faith for that. Well, dear Lord, why? I'm not there yet. And God's not condemning me for it, and stop condemning me for it, because you ain't there yet either. Because if you were, the church would be paid off. So, well, that's not a condemnation thing. It's just a sober. We got to be sober about these things. Now, it's getting paid off. We're just paying as we release our faith. But I'm just simply saying, you know, there's places we're not at in faith. And God's not angry at us for that. Amen.